Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman, and thank you for joining us here on AFR for this program, which lasts an hour and a half, actually an hour and 25 minutes, technically, till 11:30 Central Time. Ed Vitagliano joins me Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, sometimes Tuesdays and Thursdays. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman is keeping up with our Facebook page, among other things that Walker adds to the program. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
All right, tell us what you're going to be posting there on our Facebook page.
We're going to be doing Facebook Live, which means you can go and watch or listen to the show on the Today's Issues Facebook page, or you can research any of the articles that we talk about. I'll post them there, and you can read farther into them. Of course, you can go to AFR.net also and listen to previous shows and listen to the show live at AFR.net.
All right, that's on our Today's Issues Facebook page, and Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com, is here. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good morning. Top of the news. We all know what it is.
All right. We're going to talk about that. But I do have an alert.
Oh.
Beep, 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 beep. I have an alert, a Today's Issues alert.
We'll get Brent there to put together a little audio piece for the future.
Okay, yep. Well,
one of those old timey.
I thought mine sounded pretty good, kind of like Hee Haw News. Remember that?
You're the president. It sounded great, Tim.
All right.
You can do it live every time.
So, there is a new Bible coming out today, and there's been a verse added to Genesis chapter 1. I don't know if people have heard this, but it reads, "And on the eighth day, God created Tom Brady."
Huh? Who added that verse? Tom Brady?
Good.
The football watching world.
I think Tom Brady is God's gift to quarterbacks, to football. If you saw the Super Bowl last night, it was a historic comeback by the New England Patriots. Did you watch that? How many people turned it off when it was 28-3 with 3 or 4 minutes to go?
This is what I was wondering. How many Patriot fans turned it off, like at halfway through, at halftime, or even into the third quarter?
I didn't turn it off, but here was my thought as the Patriots were coming back, and it was just so exciting. I mean, the whole fourth quarter, I thought.
Unless you're a Falcons fan,
there are, who knows? There may be hundreds, maybe thousands of nerdy guys who said at halftime, "This game's over," and they started playing video games and missed the greatest comeback. You did?
I didn't play video games, but I said, "This is boring. This is over."
So you switched?
No, I just was on my phone talking to my in-laws,
not
eating food. Yeah,
eating food.
This is over. This
greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, 25 points down. And, you know, this craziest thing going on in the world, I don't know what's going to happen next, but you have the Chicago Cubs win the World Series for the first time.
That's true.
And how long? About that. 100 years. Then you have Donald Trump winning the presidency over Hillary Clinton.
Brexit.
And she that was an upset of enormous.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody gave President Trump much of a chance at all. Mm-hmm. Then you had the Brexit, which was supposed to lose.
Right.
But then, and then you have 25 points down in the Super Bowl. And I don't know if that means, you know, we're going to take the Earth's going to take a ride on the back of a meteor, an asteroid.
What's next?
What's next?
Well, I was texting. It was a weird thing because my sisters, my niece, we were all texting all throughout the game because they're big Patriot fans. And I texted at halftime. I said, "I don't see the Patriots having any answer for what I just saw in the first half. You know, I just didn't. How were they going to adjust?" And into the third quarter, I was the same thing. I said, "You know, I like the Pats, but I don't know how they're going to fix this." But they fixed it. And Tom Brady, I'll just say this: greatest quarterback ever.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's arguable anymore.
To stick with Tim's theme of the impossible happening. I've not gambled in my life, But with that theme in mind, I might bet on the Toronto Maple Leafs winning the Stanley Cup.
They got a good team.
Because the last time they won the Stanley Cup, all those players are dead.
Yes. Okay. That was in the 50s that they won?
Oh, it goes so far back. It's not funny.
Yeah. All right, a couple of things related to the Super Bowl that are in the culture.
No, Tim, all Fred had to do is mention hockey, and Tim changes the subject.
You lost
me. No, let's go back to football.
Well, I'm just not – I don't know enough to – I'm not putting down hockey or hockey fans. I just don't know enough to comment. And I'm the host
We can hook you up.
I'm the host of the show. I can, put on for about a minute or two with you guys.
You've actually come up with some when you're talking about Gordie Howe and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've heard some. Wayne Gretzky, the great one. Mm-hmm. All right, so a couple things related to the Super Bowl. One is Lady Gaga's halftime performance contained nothing real overtly political.
Thankful for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of had to hunt a little bit. My understanding is this land is your land, this land is my land. Woody Guthrie's song, that was a protest song written in the 60s maybe.
I thought it was a nice way to open.
Well, she intended that to be a little bit
I didn't get it, so she didn't offend me.
That's true. and she used music that she's been singing for a while and
her hits.
Born This Way is one of them, which is pro-gay, but most people, I'm guessing 95% of people, so if that's a protest,
it's a
wink-wink.
Yeah, people were eating, not really paying attention. Some people were paying attention to see if she said anything political. I thought she may say something against President Trump, but she didn't.
No.
She just did her halftime.
So I was happy with that. My wife said, are you watching the Lady Gaga, halftime show? And I said, well, I want to see if she's... protests. I'm sure we'll be talking about it on the
show. That's the reason
I
was watching. And a lot of people said, she's kind of on the downhill of her peak in her career. Not that I followed it or know much about it. This is what people say to me.
Yeah.
And that had she done anything outrageous, like going after President Trump at this event during this time, that it would have
accelerated.
Her career would have been even.
She's got a wonderful voice.
Would have been damaged. Yeah. But anyway, that happened. Go ahead.
I was impressed with the drones.
I didn't even notice them.
You mentioned that this morning. I didn't notice the drones either.
Oh, no. This was talked about before the Super Bowl last week. Those images in the skies, those lights that you saw.
Oh, yeah.
Those were all drones. Hundreds of them.
I didn't know that.
Under the control of a computer. Yeah. Hundreds of these drones, and they formed the national flag at one point. This all had to be done by computer.
Those were drones.
Those were drones, and then it was the Pepsi halftime show,
right?
And then it formed the logo for Pepsi. That was all drones.
Yeah,
and much of it had to be taped before the game last night because of FAA rules, because these are flying objects out there. So this was incredible on what they can do with drones under computer control right now.
Wow. Yeah.
It was amazing.
I didn't know that.
Me either. Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. Well, there was one commercial, Fred. I don't know if you're going to bring this up or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Talk about the overtly political commercial.
Oh, very. It was Lumber 84. Now, people living in the eastern part of the country are probably not familiar with Lumber 84, but it's kind of like it was described to me by somebody from the West this morning as kind of a Home Depot, and they're very popular in the southwestern part of the country. They had an ad, and I mean, there was no mistaking this. This is not a political point of view from my part. But it was 100% endorsing the rights of people to come into this country illegally.
Right.
And basically it depicted a mom and her daughter leaving somewhere in Mexico and making the long trek by foot across the border. Here's what's interesting. It was a Fox show last night. So they had last divs on what kind of commercials. Initially, Lumber 84.
I think it's pronounced 84 Lumber.
84 Lumber?
Yeah.
they had a wall. They actually had a wall where these people—
In the ad?
Original ad.
Yeah. The original ad, which you did not see last night because Fox said no to that, but you can still watch it online. Instead, they put a fence up there. There was no question that we need these folks entering the country illegally. They should be allowed in. Horrible stories of their life elsewhere, et cetera, et cetera. It was 100% political. Mm.
There was also an Anheuser-Busch ad that I don't think they intended it to be political, but in terms of timing, I think they were planning this for a year or two, but it tells the story of Adolphus Busch, who came from Germany to start the company. But when he arrived here, he's pushed around because he didn't speak English and that kind of thing. I don't think they intended that to be political. But in the context of where we are and what's been happening, in my mind, it looked political.
Yeah. What's the 84? You call it 84 Lumber? Is that what you call the company?
Yes.
Yeah. That was explicit.
Yeah, that was explicit.
It was frankly odd because it's a lumber company. They didn't show them, you know, building a deck in somebody's backyard. They showed that none of the commercial had to do with lumber, except for the truck driving down the road with lumber in the back of it.
No, and what they were advocating with the commercial was illegal immigration.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were saying, this is wonderful.
You know,
putting those two points together, though, Walker, that's the point. We're a lumber company who believes in this strongly enough that it was a 60-second ad or something, wasn't it?
Yeah,
we're going to spend whatever that is, $10 million.
Make a political message?
To make a political message, we're going to tell you whose side we're on.
You know, when do the board of directors meet and they say, you know what, y'all ran this $5 million ad for the Super Bowl and you didn't even promote your own company. You promoted illegal immigration.
I know.
You know.
I know.
What a way to spend
your ad. Now, who controlled the final say on what ads?
Fox.
Was it Fox or NFL? It was
probably
Fox.
Both.
I don't know how.
Probably Fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you think, because their network, they paid the NFL for the rights to run the show, so they would probably have the last say.
Yeah, because the ad revenue comes to Fox.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who pay whatever for the rights.
I thought it was pretty good that Fox didn't let the whole part of that commercial run.
Yeah.
They at least limited it.
Yeah. They did. And of course, I didn't watch all the ads, but other than those two,
there was a Coca-Cola ad too, which they've run before, in which people sing "America the Beautiful" in different languages.
Yeah,
that is not a bad thing, but you know what the overt message in all of this is? I mean, this is a terrific country built on immigrants,
right?
And no one is debating that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's something that makes this country strong. But, you know, underlying all of this is illegal immigration.
Right.
And probably for the later scripted commercials, even the refugee issue.
Yeah.
And also, English is the official language of America. Am I right?
Well, I'm not sure that it's ever been made statutory, has it? I mean, it's the language that most people, the operational. Yeah.
Like if you look in the history book or look on a thesaurus, each nation has their own language that it prescribes.
The primary language.
Yeah.
But like in Germany, you speak German, Japan, you speak Japan.
But there have been demands for English to become, in a statutory sense, the official language, and those efforts have failed.
Like you said, Fred, this is on the outrageous meter. This probably registers a 4.
Yep.
But at the same time, what I take from an ad that says what in different languages?
America the Beautiful.
Okay, America the Beautiful in different languages is that. Maybe I'm reading too much into this. I just think that it's saying that no language should be. We should be able to. People should be able to use whatever language they want to in this country because this is a country of immigrants. So you don't have a official language like English.
Well, it plays into the fact that if you come here, you don't necessarily have to adopt our values and our way of doing things.
Right.
Our traditions. You don't have to necessarily speak our language. You just come here, bring your culture, bring your Islamic culture here, and you can live by it.
Speaking of immigration, this is going to be a big topic in the news today and the rest of the week because we have a near constitutional crisis on our hands here in America. President Donald Trump, a few days ago, as you know, issued a proclamation and executive order with a travel ban on people from seven countries coming to the U.S. temporarily. I think the travel ban lasts for 4 months. Mm-hmm. I think it is. He issued this executive order. And the political left in this country, you know, I don't know how many times you can lose your mind, but they're losing it, and they're just outraged. This was like there was a bonfire going on, and when President Trump did this, it's as if somebody threw a canister of gasoline on it, and so the left went nuts, and so they went. The Attorney General for the state of Washington went to a federal judge in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And got him to agree with the Attorney General of the state of Washington. And what happened, Freddie? His edict, that is the federal judges, went forth across the land. What did he do?
He basically put a halt to this suspension on allowing people to come into the country without vetting. As you say, it's a four-month program. The aim of it was President Trump wants to come up with a better vetting system.
Is it not fair to say that a federal judge overruled the president of the United States on immigration policy?
No
question. Is that a fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's what happened.
Okay. Now here, folks.
And let me just add this quickly. And a district judge then applied it to the entire country,
right,
which is unusual.
Not just to the individuals involved.
Right. That's right. Or the individual state or the district that he's. Right.
Okay, folks. This is a teaching moment for your, quote, liberal friends. I don't know why I said, quote, your liberal friends. Maybe you have liberal friends. But this is a, and I mean this seriously, when we're about to demonstrate here, Walker's got the text in front of us, or we've got the Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz. When conservatives say we don't want judges that make law rather than, We want judges that interpret what the Constitution says. Sometimes I would agree that things may be vague or ambiguous or need deciphering or needs discernment, whatever you want to put it. And we do need the wisdom of a judge, you know, kind of interpreting what the Constitution
says.
And good people can disagree from time to time on these issues. That's not the question at hand here. The question now is when the United States Constitution speaks explicitly to an issue, and yet the liberal judges disregard what the Constitution says about an issue, they become lawless, really, right, themselves. Yeah. Now, what you're about to hear is, and I haven't heard this before, but you guys are telling me this.
Yeah.
Is Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, a constitutional scholar, would be a great Supreme Court justice, in
right.
my opinion, and a wonderful patriot. We're about to hear him speak to this issue of the constitutionality of the executive order by the president on immigration. Go.
But this order had explicit statutory authorization. Indeed, the text of Title 8 of the United States Code, Section 1182F, reads as follows, quote, whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interest of the United States, he may, by proclamation and for such period as he deems necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate.
Okay, that's Senator Ted Cruz. He's quoting verbatim. Can you quote any other way? I don't know. He's quoting verbatim from the Constitution, which explicitly gives the jurisdiction of immigration law, immigration policy, if you will, to the president.
Was that the Constitution or was that federal statute?
It's a federal statute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so
but it's clear.
Yes. No, it's very clear.
Okay, so the Congress, excuse me then, that wasn't the Constitution?
No, I think that's just a
federal statute.
Federal statute.
Here's what the Constitution says.
Okay.
The Constitution says, Article 1, Section 8, it says, the Congress shall have the power to establish a uniform rule of naturalization, which means those coming that are not U.S. citizens wanting to immigrate into the U.S. and become naturalized U.S. citizens, the Congress shall set the parameters. Ted Cruz just cited Congress, federal law.
The Congress gave to the president, back whenever this was passed, the authority to do what the president did, what President Trump did last week with his executive order. And now, Ed, I know I'm asking you a rhetorical question here, but how can a federal judge, look at the law that Ted Cruz just cited, the senator from Texas, and say that, the president is wrong. He does not have this statutory authority.
Yeah, I'll tell you how he does it. He does it by adding to the clear intent of the law, his own law. So what this judge did, because the University of Washington and maybe several others said, this act by the president is going to hurt some of our workers who can't come in because they've got legitimate green cards or visas. And so they petitioned this federal judge, and the federal judge said the consequences of what the president has done is going to cause some harm. Therefore, I'm adding to the law my own law, which says not only can the president do this, but we must also decide whether or not the consequences are okay. And to me, this is like a judge saying, because, you know, there was all kinds of arguments about the Electoral College results put Trump in, but Hillary Clinton had more votes. If a federal judge said, well, I know that the Constitution says the president is selected by the Electoral College, but look at how many people were hurt by that result. So now I'm declaring that Hillary Clinton will be the president.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing because they are ignoring what is clear in the Constitution and federal statute and saying, I am adding a consideration that invalidates what the president has done. It is just, it's crazy how this judge ruled.
Yeah, the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952 addressed this also, which I believe is on top of the other federal statutes that Ted Cruz mentioned. This Immigration and Nationality Act in Section 215 says explicitly in the first paragraph, when the United States is at war or during the existence of any national emergency, jihad, emergency proclaimed by the president or as to aliens, whenever there exists a state of war between or among two or more states remaining nations, meaning nations, and the president shall find that the interests of the United States require that restrictions and prohibitions, in addition to those provided otherwise than by this section, shall be imposed upon the departure of persons or the entry of individuals into the United States, and shall make any public proclamations thereof. It shall unto otherwise be ordered by the president or the Congress. And so that again lays out that this is up to the president or Congress. Nowhere in there does it say that a federal judge shall be the mediator between the president and federal law.
Well, if a federal judge can do this, then he can control war and peace.
Yeah. Right.
Because what he can say, what if we get into a conflict as we have before with a nation like Iran, and Jimmy Carter, the president, then said, we're sending all Iranian students home because of the hostage crisis.
Right.
I guess if a federal judge can say, no, you're doing harm to these Iranian students, and you can't do that, Mr. President. I mean, this is a serious... If it isn't, it will be a constitutional crisis.
Right.
If the court, ultimately the Supreme Court, says to the president, you can't control immigration, mister, we do.
Yep. Yeah.
That will be a constitutional crisis. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Culture has shifted so incredibly, and it's, of course, bled over into public policy where Christians have paid a tremendous price for simply holding to God's design for marriage and sexuality.
Newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl will also be in with the latest news. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we've been leading these tours to Washington, D.C. for almost 20 years, and we've never had a response like we've had this year. We're going to fill up early for both our June and our September Spiritual Heritage Tours. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way, taking your questions and interacting with the group. We're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown as well on a separate tour that just precedes the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon Spiritual Heritage Tour. So, if you'd like to go on one or both of these trips, you can find out all the information, all the details at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. 2017 may be your year to join us on one of these Spiritual Heritage Tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. Liberty University is in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. This year's Super Bowl ad's all about politics. Audi, the car company, touted equal pay for women. R&B ran a commercial on inclusiveness, and a hair care company made fun of President Trump's lustrous mane. But the most controversial ad came from 84 Lumber, their very first Super Bowl ad. It told the story of an illegal alien and her daughter trying to sneak across the border, only to be stymied by a giant, beautiful wall. The scene shows a guy using 84 Lumber materials to build a door, allowing the illegals to violate our national sovereignty. It was supposed to tug at the heartstrings. Instead, it gave Americans a bad case of heartburn. It does seem a bit unusual that a company would spend millions of dollars in advertising to send their customers to Home Depot. If only 84 Lumber's female illegals had crossed the border in an Audi. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio, Ed Battagliano is with me, Walker Wildman. Walker, what have you put on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, I just posted the Ted Cruz clip regarding immigration and how Trump is within his lawful authority to do such.
Amen. I don't know why I said amen right there. Sound like Walker's preaching. But he is. President Trump is within his constitutional and statutory authority to issue the temporary travel ban on people from seven other countries. Folks, we're not talking about American citizens here, right?
Right.
No, we're talking about foreign nationals.
Right, who want to come here to our country, may right. want to.
Yeah.
And he said, as Senator Cruz cited this statute on this, is clear that the president has the authority to do this. Jeremy Wiggins is in studio with us. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, gentlemen.
We're going to close this topic out and then get to some things you've got, Jeremy. By the way, tell us about your radio show, when it comes on, and why people should listen, Jeremy.
My radio program airs Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Central Time. It's called In the Trenches, and you can hear it live at that time if you're so inclined. That's 7 a.m. Eastern Time, so if you live in the Eastern Time Zone, you could potentially be awake for it. Although, you know, if you're in the Central and if you're in Pacific, well, Lord bless you. I understand. But you can go to AFR.net, download the podcast there from each of the program and this program as well. All of our programs here on American Family Radio at AFR.net.
Folks, this is going to be very important to watch and see what happens with this immigration situation and the president and the court. As you know, as we talked about before the break, one federal judge has blocked President Trump's executive order, putting a temporary travel ban on seven countries of people coming to the U.S. Again, these are not U.S. citizens. Okay. And Mr. President Trump has done so based on these seven countries were cited by the Obama administration as harboring a lot of terrorism. And so thus the temporary travel ban. This is a four-month ban. Senator Cruz, as we mentioned earlier, and we cited this, is explicit in statutory law that what President Trump is doing is well within his constitutional and statutory authority to do. This is not argued.
President Obama did the same thing.
As did President Carter. There's a history for this.
Yeah, you didn't see a federal judge when President Carter, after the Ayatollahs took over the revolution in Iran in 1979, took our hostages. You know, President Carter said, all right, no, we're sending all the Iranian students who are here student visas, sending them home. You didn't see a federal judge saying, oh, well, that's gonna harm. There are consequences to those Iranian students. They're going to lose education time. Nobody said that. This is a purely political move on the part of progressives who increasingly prove to me they have absolutely no love for our Constitution, except as they can use it as an instrument to create the world they want us to live in.
So just to close this out on what's going to happen next, this will be appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court, which is a federal appellate court in the Bay Area, I think is where they're located.
San Francisco, yes.
Okay. This is known as the most liberal federal appellate court in the land. My guess is they're going to affirm the federal judge in Seattle, his decision, because, again, this is a far-left bench. And then it's going to go to the Supreme Court. I would say probably within a matter of a week or two. It would have to be. This is serious business we're talking about here. The Supreme Court will take this up. It's 4-4 on the Supreme Court. It's four liberals, and I'm talking about devout, hardcore, groupthink liberals on the Supreme Court. There's three conservatives, and there's one moderate. By moderate, I mean could go either way. Of course, you could argue with Roberts on Obamacare. He was a moderate, or he was a liberal. But anyway, I don't want to revisit that. Basically, it's 4-3-1 right now. And Scalia's position, of course, the late Antonin Scalia, has not been replaced yet. So we will see what happens. But if the Supreme Court agrees with the federal judge in Seattle that President Trump cannot control immigration, you got a serious constitutional problem, constitutional crisis. Because what the court will be saying is the president of the United States has no authority to deal with immigration. And when the law clearly says that this is his job. Hey, by the way, Let's play one more time, then we'll have Jeremy comment. Play one more time to set this up again. The Senator Ted Cruz talking about this issue.
But this order had explicit statutory authorization. Indeed, the text of Title 8 of the United States Code, Section 1182F, reads as follows, quote, whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interest of the United States, he may, by proclamation and for such period as he deems necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate.
Jeremy, talk about that.
Well, I think, Tim, the broader issue that we're looking at here is I think the Supreme Court of the United States has already superseded authority over the legislative branch in our country. I mean, this is what the court is being used as now, as a determinant, is instead of looking at what's constitutional, it's really looking at what authority does Congress really have, which are two different things. But I think now we could actually see a case where the Supreme Court supersedes the authority of the executive branch, and in so doing would really cement itself as the most powerful branch in the federal government. And there's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be equal. They're all supposed to be checks and balances on the other ones. But the Supreme Court could be setting itself up as the most prominent branch of government, and that could be really dangerous. Like you said, it presents a constitutional crisis.
You know, I don't think we've seen a federal judge impeached probably in my lifetime. I believe it was back in the 80s.
There was one named Nixon, no candidate,
Louisiana?
Former president.
Was that?
I think he was impeached for bribery, if my memory serves me correctly.
But this could fall in the grounds of impeachment. This is not an opinion. This is not even debated amongst your liberal legal scholars. I mean, this is clear.
Right. No, and Jonathan Turley, the constitutional lawyer from Georgetown.
Yeah.
Is Georgetown or George Washington? I think George Washington University, himself a liberal, who was critical of President Obama's many executive orders, which were unconstitutional, has said that the law and history are with President Trump on this matter. He thinks that the Supreme Court will uphold President Trump's executive order because of the reasons Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, just mentioned. This is, as I've said before, some things maybe need to be interpreted by the courts because they're ambiguous or they're unclear or there's a conflict of principles at stake. That's the reason we have courts, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we need courts. Somebody has to decide issues, but when something is as clear as this is, as Senator Cruz just mentioned, it's not debatable. It shouldn't be debatable. This judge went on his feelings.
Right.
This federal judge said, I feel this is wrong, therefore I declare President Trump's executive order to be unconstitutional. Well, that's not his prerogative. That's not his authority, this judge's.
Right.
Now, it is practically speaking, because you have to have law and order, so I don't see. I know that some people would advocate, well, President Trump just needs to ignore it and keep on doing. Well, I don't know if you really want that or not, because then.
Cuts both ways.
Well, you need to try to handle this through the process.
The appropriate way. The appropriate way is for the president and his administration and his lawyers to appeal it. And they go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will then have to reaffirm or agree that the president has no jurisdiction. This is a very serious moment, and we'll have to wait and see.
It also brings up, too, you know, as we were talking through the break, that I think realistically we need to have another serious talk about federal judges here in the United States. I mean, should they be there for their entire lives?
Well, what was interesting is Judge Gorsuch, which was recently appointed or nominated to be on the Supreme Court, and he'll go through his confirmation hearings, etc. He said in his acceptance speech that it is the responsibility of judges to figure out how to apply law and not how they would like to see the law read or to rewrite the law.
Mm-hmm.
And in this instance, he's choosing just not to apply it at all. It's not like he's trying to interpret it and apply it how he sees it was written. He's just saying, let's just look, just scrap this. Just don't do this.
To simplify this so that I can understand it, it would be like a judge, a municipal judge, saying, you know, a person comes and got a ticket for going 45 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour, and the judge saying, I know what the law says.
Yeah.
And this is the fine that's appropriate to going 20 miles over the speed limit. But I think that would be an undue hardship on the person who got the ticket. So I am saying the law does not apply in this case.
Yeah. Well, and in all cases.
Yeah. And then, yeah, and then saying in all cases. And to Tim's point, where does that lead us in terms of a constitutional crisis? Using the example I'm using, what it means is that you have cut the city council out of passing laws that right. determine how fast you can go.
I'm glad you're not the one writing out my fines for my speeding tickets then, Ed. No mercy from Ed.
No mercy. No mercy. So that judge, in this particular yeah. example I'm using, that judge becomes the city council.
The rulemaker.
I'll decide yeah. how fast you can go on this street.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens, but I think it'll happen fairly quickly. It has to. This matter has to be settled. And the Supreme Court of the United States has to come down on the side of the president on this. Otherwise, we have a constitutional crisis.
I'd be very disappointed if the Supreme Court does not rule 8-0 yeah. overturning this judge. I'll go out on a limb here and say this seems so clear to me. Even the Ninth Circuit okay. might overturn this guy.
Even the most liberal federal
even the
appellate
most
court.
Liberal. We're talking hippies from San Francisco. This seems so clear to me. Even the Ninth Circuit should.
This could just be one more argument, though, why California should just go ahead and leave. But there should be a fiat, though. If you leave, you take the Ninth Circuit with you. You
can set them up. Maybe we can get a conservative federal judge to say California is no longer a state. Right.
Well, if we
yeah, might as well.
If we're making up laws from the bench, right, we might right, as well go for right. gold.
I'm just kidding. There are some good people in California.
Lots of good
yeah,
people.
Yeah, it's good people in
California. Lots of good vegetables and fruits come from that Central Valley.
Yeah. The land of fruits and nuts, California.
That wasn't what I had in mind, but
just have them take the lower half. We'll keep the upper half. They can have the lower half.
Right. And the Bay Area. But anyway, let's move on here, but we will see what happens with this. I haven't read today what the president had to say. Did he say anything this morning about this? I'm sure he probably did.
Pence said yesterday that they're going to do everything within their legal means to
Vice President Pence.
That this is that his travel ban is upheld.
I tell you, if you're a liberal, and one day you hope your president gets back in there, you better hope that the Constitution's upheld here, because this is going to be a precedent-setting decision. Should they not go and support President Trump on this, they're going to say that the president of the United States has no authority on immigration. And who does?
This federal judge.
Well, he's going to have to hang around a while.
Yes, he is.
Handle all the cases.
You know, the thing is, this
he's spoken, by the way, this federal judge, who was a George W. Bush appointee, by the way.
Yes, I think that's right.
This judge has spoken politically in his decisions already. He supported Black Lives Matter and made it be known to the one of the decisions he made a couple of years ago. He was citing like arrest. I want to say arrest percentages in certain parts of the state. And basically what he was saying, you need to, if you're going to have 20% of, I'm going to get confused here. But he was saying Black Lives Matter. He was taking a political stance. In one of his decisions.
Which they're not supposed to.
Right, one of his decisions. You can read Federal Judge Black Lives Matter Seattle and see what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Access our Today's Issues Facebook page to comment on the show or to get information on some of the topics we've talked about here. You can also go to AFR.net and listen live or download our app on your mobile device and listen to American Family Radio. It's a free app. It takes you about 60 seconds or less to download, and then you can listen anywhere in the world that has high-speed internet, of course, to American Family Radio on your iPad or your cell phone. So take advantage of that or other mobile device, tablet, what have you. Jeremy, what else is in the news there?
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this or not. There was a football game last night.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier.
But did you know that there was another bowl that happened over this weekend in Philadelphia?
I did not know that. What happened?
It wasn't the Puppy Bowl, was it?
No. It was the Philadelphia Wing Bowl. A chicken wing eating contest. And a Philadelphia man is $10,000 richer, and he also won a Hyundai Santa Fe and a Harley Davidson motorcycle. How many wings do you think he had to eat in order to win?
12.
No.
100. 1,200.
No, not 1,200. 409 chicken wings.
Oh, my goodness.
Last year's winner, however, Molly Schuyler, S-C-H-U-Y-L-E-R, ate 429 wings. She also won another event this year. She ate 5.5 pounds of steak in 3 minutes, 17 seconds.
I wonder how they felt the next day, the next morning.
Next day.
And then she ate the guy who came in second.
Yeah. Just once they start chewing, they can't stop.
You know, I entered one of those one time. I had to stop at 236 wings.
That's all you could do?
Well, I felt like a weenie, but I couldn't go on, you know. And so,
I can eat me some wings, but now that 420.
420. Hey, listen, I want to introduce you guys to a lady that I've had the pleasure of knowing for 2 or 3 years now or longer. And she's a big fan of American Family Association and American Family Radio. And she's an author of a book we're offering, speaking of the Constitution. It's titled A Constitution is Born. That's the title of the book. And joining us to talk about it is the author, one of the authors, Norma Swanson from the great state of Maryland. Norma, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Hey, Norma, tell our listeners a little bit of your background, if you would, so they can appreciate how this book came to fruition. But I want you to tell them a little bit of your background.
Well, a little bit of it, Tim. I worked in the Reagan administration in the Department of Ed, and then sometime later, I was asked to work with the Commission for the Bicentennial of the Constitution, and that's what kind of piqued my interest in the Constitution. And my husband, I'm a widow now, but my husband was for 20 years an assistant to Dr. Billy Graham, and those were, I think, some of the happiest days of my life to work with that wonderful organization. And I've been living in Frederick, Maryland, but you know, when you get this in your blood, Tim, you just can't retire. You just have to kind of keep going like the Energizer Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why we have this book, why I have it in my hand right now.
So I'm guessing you're in your mid-60s somewhere running there, right, by now?
Well, I'll let you look that up. a little bit older than that, I think.
Well, the only reason I bring that up is so because it's amazing somebody at your age could dedicate themselves to this level, to do all the research and study that you've done the last few years to put this book together. It's called A Constitution is Born. Norma Swanson is our guest from Maryland, and we're going to tell you how to get that book. By the way, I'll just tell you right now, and then we'll get back to Norma. This is an excellent, excellent resource for you if you want to understand how our Constitution came to be. This explains it all, including the divine intervention. You can go to our website, afastore.net, right, Walker?
That's correct. Yeah, you can go to afastore.net, and in the search bar, just type in A Constitution, and it'll complete the sentence for you, and you click on the link, A Constitution is Born, and you can purchase the book there for
$18.99. So go to afastore.net. You need to get this book, folks. You really do. afastore.net, and then click on what, Walker?
Click on the search bar and type in A Constitution.
Okay.
And then the book will come up. Yep.
Okay. A Constitution is Born. Back to the story about the book coming to be. Go ahead, Norma.
Well, what we're trying to do, Tim, we just recognize, I guess as most of us have, that our morals are eroding. There's an increase in anti-Americanism. We just are getting away from biblical principles, and our whole purpose is stated on the cover of the book. It says, "A brief history of the Constitution of the United States of America, tracing the hand of God." And we recognize, which we feel a lot of the world has forgotten or maybe never knew in the first place, that God was the chief architect, and he was and still is the chief architect of this nation. But I feel maybe some of the subcontractors have gotten off track, and we need to get back and recognize God's blueprint, and that's what we've tried to show through the book. And we just hope we've been successful pointing to how God really, really engineered the whole thing and still is.
Hey, we've got 3 or 4 minutes. Tell us one or two things maybe that you learned in the process of writing this book about the Constitution and how it was birthed that maybe you found most interesting or surprised you.
Well, probably the dedication of these people, the dedication and the willingness, the sacrifices they were willing to make. I don't know that I was really surprised at that, but I think maybe the biggest, maybe not a surprise, but it just reinforced to me how God, the part that God played in the development of our nation. And if we want his blessings in the days that lie ahead, I think we're going to have to recognize him.
Amen.
I guess I don't think that. I know that. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have to recognize him as the architect.
Talking to Norma Swanson, author, co-author of A Constitution is Born, and she worked in the Reagan White House, and for the Reagan administration at least, and her husband worked for Dr. Billy Graham, and she has spent the last few years putting together this wonderful book we're offering called A Constitution is Born, and you can get it at afastore.net. Go to the search bar, Walker said, and type in A Constitution, and it will pop up. Mm-hmm. And it's $16.95.
$16.99.
And you can get it there. And last question, Norma, we're about out of time. What's one thing you hope people come away with after reading this book?
Well, probably a new sense of appreciation for America. And I'd like to see the young people be proud and have a good, happy feeling about America and just kind of stamp out some of the anti-Americanism that we see on every hand. I remember as a little girl how happy I would see and excited to see the American flag unfurled. It was just such a thrill. But I wonder if our young people are feeling that now. And what we've done in this book, Tim, we've tried to show a background of what it was like, what brought the Constitution into being, a little bit about the life and times of these people. And, of course, the book contains the entire Constitution written in language. We have the Constitution as it's written, and then we have underneath an explanation in layman's language. So if you think you don't understand the Constitution, this will help you to understand.
Amen.
And you can look it up easily.
Hey, Norma.
We have the Bill of Rights and many quotes and wonderful things about our founding fathers. And we have a whole section on the monuments. You'd be amazed at the scripture that's on our national monuments. And we have another chapter on the American flag and basic things like that. Then we have a chapter on the life and times and how they lived, how they dressed, the music they enjoyed. We have a section on slavery. Then we have a section, and we give Dr. Jeffress a lot of credit for this. You remember how he preached that wonderful sermon at the on the Supreme Court and the landmark decisions that they've made, the cases and the decisions that they've made that affected the face of America. So we have that from Dr. Jeffress' sermon.
Yes.
So many things to make you a better American and a better Christian and follower of Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Norma. We appreciate everything you put into this book. May the Lord bless you, and thanks for visiting with us this morning.
Well, you're welcome, and I wanted the folks to know that it's dedicated to your dear father.
Yes, it is.
Who inspired a lot of this.
Yeah, my dad founded this ministry, and American Family Association, American Family Radio, and Norma's dedicated so graciously the book to my dad. We'll be back after the break. The news is straight ahead, and my thanks to Jeremy. Jeremy, thanks for sitting in.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be back with Steve Jordahl after the break.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.